Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flock nor herds feed before that mountain." So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he said, "If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance."
What a blessing it is to be able to come into the house of God with his people. I do want to say from the onset that it is good to be a member of the Church of Christ. And if you are a Christian, you ought to be grateful today. As a matter of fact, if you have a husband or a wife and they're in Christ, you ought to be grateful. If you have parents that are rearing you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you ought to be grateful. If you have children that are striving to do that which is right in the sight of God, you ought to be grateful. Isn't it a blessing to be in Christ? Can you smile and say amen? Good. It's good to see y'all this morning. As we have been talking about God, we have been talking about our identity as it relates to God. As a matter of fact, as we have been talking for the last few weeks, we have been conversing on how we see God. And the way we see God is the way we live our lives. As a matter of fact, when we consider who is God, last week we talked about what is God. This week we're going to be talking about who is God. Ask yourself a question. If your friends, families, co-workers was to ask you, who is God? Could you give them a thorough answer according to the scriptures? Friends, if we're going to be the people of God at Ninth and Main, I'll get there one day, we have to know who God is. If our families are going to have a fighting chance to make it in such a cruel world, we have to know who God is. And friends, we don't have to go to the internet. We don't have to go to the outside world to find out who God is. We can go to the Word of God and He will tell us Himself. Isn't that beautiful to know that we can go to God's Word and we can know for a fact who He is? Our view of God will determine how we govern our lives. Our view of God will determine how our speech is. Our view of God will determine our love even for our enemies. Who is God? When we consider who God is, I love how God introduces himself in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God. He doesn't give his resume, his pedigree. He just said, in the beginning, God. When you drop down 25 verses to verse number 26, we find that this God is a plurality. let us make man. Here, for the first time, we see God demonstrating himself as being persons. Who is God? Friends, I want us to keep in mind that the God that we serve is not a God of polytheism. He is one. In Exodus chapter 34, as our dear brother read in our hearing, Moses is told by God personally who he is. I'm reminded of the first time that I heard this passage with understanding. It's amazing that we can hear passages, but as Solomon, the son of David, said, in all thy getting, get an understanding. When I first understood this passage, it blew my mind that God has shown us and told us who he is. Notice in verse number 6, and I appreciate the reading of the text, but the reason why I want us to look at this text is because for the first time, Moses is finding out who God is. Oh, we know in Exodus 3 and verse number 14, when Moses said, when I go to the children of Israel, who do I say sent me? I am. But here God goes a little further into his own mind and he tells Moses, this is who I am. Notice what your Bible says as we read for emphasis sake. Verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, stop. Friends, if we're going to have the respect for God that God desires, and if those on the outside are going to see that we are truly the people of God, we have to know who he is. Amen. Do you know God? If the church at 9th and Main is going to grow spiritually, we have to know who God is. If our families are going to benefit from God, and friends, it is scriptural for us to benefit from him, because when we go to his word and we read his word, we then get his mind and we take on that mind, therefore we benefit from God. Benefit. And no wonder the world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5 and verse number 19, because they're not going to the word of God and they're not understanding who God is, therefore they are not benefiting from him. Notice who God is and ask yourself, do I have these characteristics? This is definitely God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, overflowing, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. I want us to stop there for a second, because as I was thinking about this and have been thinking about this for some years now, I think about the mercy of God and how he is compassionate. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. We consider some of these attributes, and friends, they're flooded in the New Testament. We see them in Jesus Christ. We see them coming forth from the Spirit as they are moving holy men. Friends, God is all about truth, firmness, and forgiveness. But who is this God? And we'll have more to say about this in a few minutes. But when we consider who this God is, I want us to take our minds a little further into his mind. Because the God of the Bible, and that's the God that we want to serve, the God of the Bible is a God of holiness. In Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45, Peter encapsulates this thought in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. God is holy. The more I thought about that, I don't know about you, friends, but the higher I see God, the lower I feel. The lower I see myself. Why? Because he is holy. And I can prove this with the Bible. Because those who understood as God as being holy would drop down to their knees and even on their face, and they would bow down to God. Because they understood their position before God. And no wonder when God is displaying himself in Exodus chapter 3, he tells Moses, remove thy sandals, for the ground in which you stand on is holy ground. God is holy. Holy. Why do you feel low? Why do you see yourself as low, Brother Mike? Because of his perfectness. Now, friends, in America, that's a difficult concept for us because we see ourselves as high and mighty sometimes. But I love Brother Don's prayer, and he starts off the God that sits up high, and he is high. And the Bible teaches us in Psalm 113 that he has to stoop in order to see the heavens and the earth. He literally has to bow down to see what's going on down here. Friends, that's the God of the Bible. He's a God of mercy, a God of truth, a God of graciousness, a God of long-suffering. But never forget that God is a God of holiness. And that word holiness literally means that he is set apart. In Leviticus chapter 10, as I fly over, drop this point off at you. In Leviticus chapter 10, the first three verses, we come across Nadab and Abihu. And because they did not respect the holiness of God, God had to deal with them not only strategically, but because of his sovereignty, he had every right to do what he did. He had to destroy them. God will always do that which is right for the priesthood. Why? As we will talk about tonight, the priesthood is God's only approach or only way that a man can approach him. And no wonder Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way. Why, Jesus? Because I'm the high priest. But as we go further, y'all stay with me. God is a God who is one. Now, we're going to look at this again on next week because this concept, friends, and it's important that we get this. Because we live in a time now where people do not recognize one God. They recognize a multiplicity of gods. And even Oprah Winfrey went on national television, said that I am my own God. No, there is only one God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4, here we see something very powerful as we turn our Bibles together. And I promise to have you out by lunch. Hope you're not hungry. Notice what Moses says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Friends, God is one. And the reason why he is one, I want us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, What is God one in? Notice what your Bible here has to say. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, notice what your Bible says. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Here it is, as his divine power. Underline that. His divinity. What makes God him? Drop down to verse number 4 for time's sake. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature. Friends, what does it mean to be God? There's not a person on the face of the earth. There's not anything that a man can build and construct with his own hands that can take on the form of divinity, because that only belongs to God. Amen. God is God. And friends, when we get this in our hearts and we saturate our minds with it, we will then begin to understand who this God is. Why? Because God wants us to know him. No wonder Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed unto his death. What do you want, God? I want you to know me. The more I get to know God, the more you get to know God, the better all of our lives will be. John 17, verses 1 and following, just write this down. Jesus gives us insight on who God is. They are one. They are unified. You cannot divide them. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, even at the baptism of Jesus, we see the oneness of God. But here in the New Testament, we finally get a glimpse of who this God is. Jesus, as he comes out of the water, being baptized for righteousness. Here we have the Spirit descending upon him as a dove. And then we have this great voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now we have the Godhead being distinguished for us, because before this particular time, we could not see it. Friends, God is God. There's some powerful things that 30 minutes can't let us kind of delve into. I'm going to say something you might not like, but it's true. Maybe we ought to spend more time in study so we can get to know who this God is. So we can then be a 1 Peter 3:15 people, to be ready to give an answer. Why? Because we have spent time with God. Well, Brother Bonner, that's my responsibility at home, but yes, but it is the responsibility of the leaders of the congregation to make sure that the people of God are being fed. Fed what? Not stories, not illustrations, but the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse number 1, here we see, in the beginning was the Word. It didn't say in the beginning was Jesus, in the beginning was the Messiah, in the beginning was the Christ, in the beginning was the Word. We'll have more to say about that next Sunday. Y'all come back now, you hear? In the beginning was the Word. You drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Friends, who is this God? Why does he want me to know him? Why does this God want me as a father to teach my children? Why does me as a father have a responsibility to guide in the steps of the Lord? Why? Because Psalm 127, the first 5 verses, children are inheritance of the Lord. God wants them back. What a blessing it is to have the Word of God. But not only do we see the Father, who all things come forth from. Friends, think about this. Jesus said in John chapter 12, turn your Bibles there real quick. Jesus, as we see this Godhead forming right in front of our eyes. And friends, it took me years to get all of these concepts down. Don't think you're going to get it down in 35 minutes. It took me years and I'm still pondering and still thinking and still asking questions and still wondering, because the depths and the riches of God are so deep, it's hard for me to get down under it. Here Jesus said in John 12:47, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Look at verse 48. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. Oh, whose mind are we dealing with? Brother Braswell, we're dealing with the mind of God. And if we're going to listen to anyone, we ought to listen to the one that God sent, and that's Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus said in John 12 and verse number 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Why is that, Jesus? If I am lifted up from the earth, if I am raised from the dead, then you better listen to me. Better listen to me. But that's just not it. We have the Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:26 to John 16 verse 13, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, disciples. But when we consider John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all of the truth. Jesus, what are you saying? Whatever God wants you to say, it will be given to you. But he's talking to his disciples, not us. They got it miraculously. However, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to study to show himself approved unto God. Which means that if we're going to know who God is, we got to spend time diligently in studying of the Word of God. Reminding what Jesus told those religious leaders in John 5 and verse number 39, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. Why is this important, of knowing who God is? Because we live in a time and in a day today. I just had a conversation last night. A sister in Christ called me, and she was arguing with some guy who was part of the denominational realm. And they was going backwards and forwards over instrumental music and worship. And the first thing came out of his mouth, Brother Bonner, you telling me that God gave me a gift and I can't use it in worship? Oh. Question. Who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping God or are you worshiping yourself? That was the first question came out of my mouth. I'm worshiping God. Then we need to look at those eight passages in the New Testament that shows us how to worship God in singing. Amen. We need to take the sum of God's word as it relates to the subject, Psalm 119, 160, and then we can make a safe conclusion from the mind of God, from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and then we can conclude safely that God wants us to sing to Him. I say, yeah, you can use your talent all you want to at home. But when it comes to worship, you better sing to God. That's the God we serve. But people are going based upon what they think and what they feel. But who is this God? Turn your Bibles to John 4. All that was introduction. Now let's get to the lesson. We're just now getting started. I'm just getting warmed up. Why y'all looking like that? He been up there 30 minutes already. He just now getting started. One thing about the Word of God is so powerful. And if we study it and get in it like we want, like God wants us to, oh, we'll be blessed by it. Who is this God? Yes, we understand Exodus 34, verses 5 through 6. But here Jesus, the very essence of God, Hebrews chapter 1, teaches us that God is seeking true worshipers. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. Who is this God? Number one, he is not flesh. Luke 24:39, he has never taken on flesh. The God, the Father who is in heaven, is not flesh. Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about this on next week, he is the only one that took on flesh. Not the Father, not the Spirit, but the Son. He took on flesh. So when people get to asking, well, who is God? God is spirit. But let's go back to the book of Job. And I want you to see something that Job said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that just magnifies the Bible. In Job chapter 7 and verse number 17, Brother Popejoy, when you get that, read that. And I want us to notice something, friends, as it relates to what is in the mind of Job. And Job understood who God was, and he said this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What is man? Now notice what he says. What is humanity? What is man? Notice, read. That you should magnify him. Read. Now, listen to the language, friends, that you should set your heart. Now, you're talking about a nugget right in the middle of Job. Now, these are not McDonald's nuggets. That's not real meat, y'all. Don't eat that stuff. Okay? But this is real meat right here. Job 7, verse 17. What is man that thou shalt magnify him that you should... What is man that thou art mindful of him that you should magnify him that you should set your... heart. You know what that teaches us? That God is mind. God is intelligence. God is not dumb. He's not like the dumb idols in the days of Baal. He is God. And there is only one God. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4 through 6. It's amazing how that nugget is right there, Brother Popejoy, in Job 7, verse 17. It's as if God put it there and say, let's see if they find that. God is mind. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as I give you divine commentary on Job 7, verse 17. Why is this important? And why do we need to know this, Brother Bonner? We need to know this because we need to know who God is. And when I know who God is, then my life will be accordingly. It will govern how I treat my spouse. It will govern the respect I have for my husband. It will govern the time that I spend with my children. It would help me how I deal with my coworkers. It would help me how I... try to esteem the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in the church. Friends, it makes so much more sense now. And it's probably going to make more sense in 20 years, Brother Raphael. That the three, one, in mind. Never any division. Always one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 16, y'all stay with me. I'm almost done. You know, maybe what we need to have, friends, maybe we need to have reading sessions in the Bible, in service, that can teach us discipline. You know what Bible reading does? It teaches us discipline. God knows that they got to sit there and they got to read it and they got to learn about me, and it's hard for us to sit still sometimes. It's hard for our children to sit still, read the Bible to them, and say, sit there and listen to the Word of God. Amen. Who is this God? Brother Massey said yesterday in Hamilton, Texas, he is a God that deserves respect and reverence. And we ought to give it to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He's not talking about heaven, y'all. I ain't got time to deal with that. But God has revealed them, notice, to us, how? Through the Spirit. This is verbal. This is revelation. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? In essence, what Paul is saying, how am I going to know what Brother Dennis Reed is thinking unless Brother Dennis Reed tell me? How can I know what God is thinking unless God tells me? It's amazing how men and women today, and probably have always been, well, I believe God is saying this. Well, where do you find that in the Bible? I haven't read it, but that's what I think. Did nobody ask you what you thought? What did God say? Oh, if I could be God's lawyer, I would represent him with his own words. Let me stop because I'm getting too happy. Yeah, look like I'm having a good time up here, huh? Man. Look at what he says, though, friends. I can know what God says, verse 12. Look at verse number 11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by who? By God. Friends, I don't have time to look at the rest of it, but you go back and you read that, friends. How can I compare spiritual things with spiritual unless I use that which is spiritual, the Word of God? How can I know who God is? I have to go to the Word of God to know who God is. As I close, who is God? This is where we get warm and fuzzy. God is love. Right? You know, usually when you talk to people on your job, you're like, oh, look, you know what? God is love. Yeah? Let's go ahead and explore that. 1 John 4:8-18, God is love. But there's a purpose for his love. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. And friends, you notice we're just going to the Bible. We're just going to the mind of God. We're just going to that which God has left us, his inspired writ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. Slow down, Mike. I'm trying. I get to talking to myself sometimes. As long as I don't, well, sometimes I answer myself too. But notice what he says here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Friends, it is a powerful text that Timothy here is being said by Paul. Now the purpose of the commandment is love. Hold on. I thought God is love. Yeah. Which tells us that we cannot separate the commandments of God from God himself. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, what? Keep my commandments. What's the purpose of the commandment? The purpose of the commandment is love. From a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. From some having strayed, turned aside to idle talk. Desiring to be teachers of the law. They don't know what they're talking about. God is a consuming fire. Now, we don't want to talk about that part of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible teaches us that God is a consuming fire. And the Hebrews writer seems like he just takes that and he said, I need to use it right here. Hebrews 12 and verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. He's a God of wrath. John chapter 3, verse 34, we understand that those who do not obey Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides upon them even now. Now, can you imagine thinking about that? I think about that sometimes. You think about the wrath of God, and you think about God's pedigree in the Old Testament and how he dealt with people when they did not do the things that he said, especially those who were in a leadership position. He crushed them. Why did he do that? Because they had to have an example in front of them because they were representing me. Wow. But if you leave it to the world we live in today, God doesn't do that. He's not like that. But we can look at the God of wrath in a positive way too. Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Look at verses 10 through 13. And as I was thinking about this, I had to jot this in my notes because this is so true. That God is a God of wrath, but it doesn't have to be upon us. It can be upon those who are bothering us. And this is why Romans chapter 12 verse 19, we got to give room for the wrath of God. And sometimes we don't give room. And this is why we have so much hatred in the world. This is why we have people killing one another in the world. This is why we got people backbiting one another in the world, because they're not giving room for God. God wants them to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's giving God room. But after a point where God's enemies are attacking his people, now God says, I will deal with them. In Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse number 10, notice what your Bible says. This is when the people of God were about to cross the Red Sea, you remember? And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. You know what? When you're afraid, it'll cause you to make decisions you normally wouldn't make. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is it not the word of that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Sometimes we get that attitude. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. Here it is. You want to see the wrath of God? Here it is. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. You know what? When you know God, you leave room for God to do his work. Who is God? He's a God of wrath. He's a God that will fight our battles. But I got to leave you with this. God is our Father. Jesus called him Father in Matthew 6, verse 9. Sometimes our earthly fathers are not worth a hill of beans, but our Heavenly Father will always be worth that. Amen? Sometimes, and we live in a world today where so many people are locked up on drugs, locked up on alcohol, they're just locked up. And they're leaving their children to find God by themselves. Here come God to the rescue. Here come a child of God who meets up with a person who didn't grow up with a father, and now they're growing them up and helping them to know who God is. Jesus says, when you approach God, our Father, God ain't your buddy. He ain't on the same level as us. God is high, and he looks low. Therefore, we're low and we look high. And he will never come down. Not the Father. He already came down with his Son. He sent the Son down. That's the only coming down he's going to do until he tells his Son to come down again. Other than that, he ain't coming down. Friends, we got to do our part. No wonder Paul in Ephesians 3 and verse 14, he says, I bow my knees to the Father. Who's your Father? We have a Father that will never, ever forsake us. And I don't know about you, friends, but sometimes when you're laying on your bed, and you got your pillow, and it is soaked with tears, you need someone you can cry out to. And sometimes it ain't the person laying next to you. Sometimes, if you're single, it's just you and God. Who is he? He says, I'm everything you need. I just need you to do what I say. Amen? Friends, we could be the church that God desires for us to be, and we can go out and we could teach people about who this God is. Nothing mystical, nothing miraculous, just meaningful. That's all it is. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to come to know who God is. And it is amazing that the more we study the Word of God, the more we understand who he is. And God is saying, I want you to understand who I am. Because if you're going to live eternally with me, you got to know who I am. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Oh, let me go ahead and fast forward. You know, when you're baptized into Christ, if you're doing it right, you're going to spend your whole life turning away from sin. I don't see how you read the Bible, Christians, and not tell God, I'm sorry for thinking like that sometimes. I don't see how you read the Bible and see how high and lifted up God is and how low we are. I just don't see it. It's hard to come out of the Bible and feel good all the time. That doesn't make us feel as if we're nothing. It just puts us in the proper position. And the reason why people are doing things to their body today and laying with people of the same sex is because they don't see God for who he is. Amen. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. I don't know what type of preacher y'all thought y'all was getting, but this is what y'all got. Book, chapter, and verse. Practical. Because God wanted that way. If you're a child of God, and maybe you don't see God the way that you ought to see him, I already know why you don't. You're not reading the Word. There's no way you can read God's Word and come out with a different opinion than what he has said in the Bible. There's no way. An honest heart, the Word of God, it automatically spells out success. Automatically. Spend time with God in prayer, meditation, and study as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.